The text of our message today is found in Matthew chapter 8, verse 19 to verse 22. And a certain scribe, is a Jewish Bible scholar. A certain scribe came and said unto him, "Master, I will follow thee whithersoever thou goest." And Jesus said unto him, "The foxes have holes, and the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head." And another of his disciples said unto him, "Lord, suffer me first to go and bury my father." But Jesus said unto him, "Follow me, and let the dead bury their dead. Let the spiritually dead bury their dead physically." May the Lord bless the reading of his sacred word. The title of my message today is, "It Costs Your Life to Follow Christ." And Jesus has given a very hard saying, a very unpalatable reply to two disciples to be. One is a Jewish Bible scholar, a scribe, and seeing the miracles of Jesus and seeing the power that he has, why, he thought it is a good idea, a good prospect to follow him. But Jesus must give him the hard facts. The foxes have holes, and the birds of the air have nests. But as for me, the Son of Man, there is even not a pillow, nowhere to lay his head. Do you know that Jesus has no permanent home? Sometimes we find him praying on the hill, mountain, up in Mount of Olives, Gethsemane, all night, under the dew, and his 12 disciples have to stick with him. Another one says, "My father is dead, and I want to follow you, but please give me some time to go home and bury my father." Because of these hard sayings, there are those preachers today who choose to preach from the Bible those pleasant passages. And these are the positive gospel preachers. Preach positively, but not say anything negative. Who are they? They are the new evangelicals. They are giving way to modernism, to all the ecumenism around, and the charismatics. So instead of a cross that is blunt and hard, they try to smoothen it. And they will say very nice words and sweet rewards. If you accept Christ as a Savior, he will bless you, and he will make you rich, and he will give you prosperity. This is a new doctrine that is being propounded. So becoming a Christian is happy-go-lucky all around every day and singing happy songs. And you are getting well off now since you have received Christ. But this is only one side of the story. Indeed, Christ will bless us if we follow him. But it is half of the truth. The other side, because hard times will come and test us, then will you be willing, be able to follow. The scribe now is given a dose of hard medicine. To follow me, I have no place to stay. You must be willing to experience hardship and poverty. The other one, if you want to follow me, you cannot go even to bury your father. Sometimes a funeral, in the old days, a Chinese funeral will take 1 week's duration and have the dead person on display for nearly a week. Now they shorten it to 3 days from inclusive. And that is speaking time. But if you are following me, it is now, right away. Immediate obedience. Utmost devotion. Christ will not entertain any lesser devotion in following him. And so they were very disappointed. But that's a test. Jesus does not want rice Christians. That is a name given in China when the missionaries came and they were, the people were very poor, and the missionaries would give them money, rice. And it's the same thing when we go to Cambodia. We have given social relief, but that is not the way of solution. Jesus wants to have iron Christians, to put iron into your blood. Are you willing? Because very soon, apart from this challenge to the scribe and to another disciple, Jesus says in Matthew chapter 16, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up the cross and follow me. This is even more drastic. There are many who serve the Lord and they want to find out what are the prospects. And there was a magazine many years ago who got me to write an article, and I gave them my testimony. And they wanted to know what prospects can our church give. I said, I have no prospects. The Lord gives me no prospects. But if you are willing to die with him, you can come and follow him. What a disappointment. We not only have to forego our livelihood to follow him where he has no house to stay, where he has sometimes nothing to eat. We must be willing to follow him even at the cost of your life. What is to deny oneself and to carry the cross? That is to be willing to go to him as he carries his cross, to die for our sins on Golgotha. We also carry our cross there to die for him. And it is not that to the scribe, Jesus gives a condition, and to the disciple another condition. But now he says, if any man is to everybody, if you want to follow me, the prospect is death, if you are willing to die. Why does Jesus require such sacrifice on our part? Because he has earned for us life everlasting by his death on the cross. So, salvation is free and freely given, accepted, but the cost is high.
If you are believing truly, you must be willing also to give your life for him. Now when it says any man, it means any woman and any child, any person. When I read these challenges before, I always thought that it applied only to the apostles, because they all were martyred for Christ. I thought also that it applies to the pastor, because he has given his life to serve the Lord, and also every full-time worker. But it is not so. If any man, includes me and you, old or young, boy or girl, everyone is included. This is proven by church history. This is proven by current events. Not only the Bible tells us that they all had to suffer for Christ. Let me illustrate by two sets of events in China. In the year 1900, there arose an anti-Christian movement called the Boxer Rebellion. And they wanted to kill foreigners at first, but then they included the Christians. It was due to the unfair treatment when China was being encroached by Western nations, and this was a movement of patriotism to retaliate, and they included Christians because the Christians were those who were converted by foreign missionaries. Then the Empress Dowager, she was a widow, the Dowager, gave the permission or gave the decree to kill. As a result of that, 185 Western missionaries, both Protestant and Catholic, were beheaded by the governor. This was rounding up as many as they could. It's really pathetic to read the account of how they beheaded not only the husbands and the wives, these are the missionaries, but also their children. And their children knew that their fate was to die with their parents. And it's wonderful to know that they did not cry, but just bowed their heads in submission. If any man will come and follow me, let him deny himself and pick up his cross. Even the children, they bore the death. How about the Chinese Christians? In the same way, because they were Christians, they were involved, and over 20,000 of Chinese Christians, male and female and children, also went under the sword. They were assassinated, they were murdered all throughout China. My grandfather was a young pastor, but the Lord gave him presence of mind, and he welcomed the Boxers with their spears and their swords come in. But God delivered him. Now what happened in those days, a century ago, happens today the same thing. The Chinese communists take over and they want to control all the churches. If you register with them and they are under their control, okay, you can have your services. But you must have your sermons vetted by them. And you cannot preach from certain books of the Bible, like the book of Revelation, that tells of the coming of Jesus Christ. But because they want to be loyal to the truth and stand for the faith, millions of Christians go underground. According to China Watchers today, there are at least 80 million Christians in China, whereas in 1949, when the communists took over, at that time there were only 1 million Protestants. So they want to be loyal to Christ. Millions of them worship in house churches, but when they are found out and the people arrested, the whole house church people, including children, are sent to jail. If any man. I used to think that this applied to pastors. Well, so the pastors must sort of stand in and be representative. So if anyone goes to jail, then I go to jail first. No, everyone is included, if any man. So although these are very hard demands by our Lord Jesus Christ, yet our Lord is a loving Heavenly Father. He is our Father too. He is our Savior. And in Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6, 7, Jesus is called the Everlasting Father. In what sense is He the Everlasting Father? In the sense that He looks after us. What father will not love a son, even the prodigal son? What greater love is there in the world than a parent's love for his child? And so he does not just say, "You'll be prepared to die for me," but he also says, "I take good care of you." And this we can see right here in Matthew chapter 10, just the next page of our Bible. He thinks of us. He cares for us. So he exhorts us in Matthew 10:28, "And fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul. But fear rather him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell." What does this mean? You need not worry about these who persecute you, but you rather think of me. God is the one who can destroy both body and soul in this life and in the next. He is greater than all earthly power. Those who persecute us at most can kill our body, but they cannot kill our soul. So this is the greater power that is God. He will look after you, who can destroy both body and soul together. And then he goes on to say, "Are not two sparrows sold for a farthing? Sold for 10 cents? And one of them shall not fall on the ground without your father." Think of it. The sparrows. God takes care of them. And if he doesn't allow, no sparrow can be caught or shot. But the very hairs of our head are all numbered. When you go to the Holy Land, we have taken 10 trips, and we always pray for safety. That is the greatest importance. And thank God, 10 times they came back without a scratch. He will count even your hairs. Does God know our hairs? According to medical science, they say that we have about 120,000 hairs on our head. If I count mine, there's not very much left. And yet every hair is counted. Literally, of course, God knows. But by application, every little event in our life, drinking a cup of coffee, taking a bus, whatever you do, He is looking after you and keeping you safe. That is how wonderful Although he challenges us that you must be prepared to die for me, yet he says, I look after you so that no danger and no untoward incident can come and overtake you. Is that not true? In times of peace, he provides for us very liberally. He knows our jobs. He opens doors for us. He promotes us. And he gives us no pain or suffering. And this is what our Lord and Savior says, that my Heavenly Father will take good care of you. And then he also tells us that even in times of persecution, he will take good care of us. Verse 18 of the same chapter, chapter 10. And ye shall be brought before governors and kings for my sake, for a testimony against them and the Gentiles. And when they deliver you up, take no thought how or what ye shall speak, for it shall be given you in that same hour what ye shall speak. For it is not ye that speak, but the Spirit of the Father which speaketh in you. How wonderful. Yes, sometimes you are put into a very embarrassing situation. You are brought before the judge, brought before the prosecutor, brought before those authority that will easily catch you. And you have nowhere to run. And yet, God will give a wisdom higher than theirs, that in your answering, you are foolproof. They cannot do anything to you. I heard a very wonderful story, a true story, from my good missionary friend, Reverend Tai. He came from Taiwan and he served in a factory as a chaplain to a certain factory in Jurong. And he preached for us in a Chinese service. During the Japanese occupation, the Japanese did a lot of harm and injury to the occupied people. And this happened in Taiwan because Taiwan has been ruled by the Japanese for 50 years until the Second World War. And here's a police chief who caught a pastor and he was going to examine him. You know, when you face the police, they are very knowledgeable and cunning. Now, don't you think that the government doesn't know you? They know everybody. With all this E system, everything's E. So the police chief asked him one question, tell me who is greater, the Japanese emperor or Jesus? Wow. How to answer? The Lord gave this pastor suddenly a wonderful wisdom. First of all, is to call the name of the emperor first. And the title of the emperor, the son of heaven, in Japanese, Tenno Heika. Now, when this word is uttered, all must stand at attention and salute. So instead of he being examined, now he examines the police chief because he at once has to stand up and salute. As he was saluting him. He said, Tenno Heika, he's the emperor of Japan. We know that he's the number one. So why you want to make him to be compared to Jesus? Put the words into. And the police chief, seeing his wisdom, let him go. He admired him that he was able to call on the name of the Japanese emperor. And then he had to stand up and salute. How did he know to answer him like this? Of course, it's a wisdom of God. He says that in time of trouble and when you are under examination, but when they deliver you up, take no thought how or what ye shall speak, for it is he given to you that same hour what you shall speak. It is not ye that speak by the Spirit of our Father, which speaketh in you. Wonderful. So the Lord deliver us. When I brought before police chief inspectors, you have to take a stand. And indeed, it is in the hour of trial. And you think of the Lord Jesus and you are loyal to Him. He will give you words to speak. Even of courageous word in defiance of the authority. Because we are serving a greater authority, Jesus, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Thank God, while we are challenged to stand firm for Him, even to death, to follow Him to the cross, Jesus doesn't want rice Christians, but He wants iron Christians. They can stand the test and give glory to Him. He also loves us as He is. Our loving Heavenly Father, and the Father will always take gentle care of His sons. Now, with regard to the second disciple who wanted to go home and bury his father, and Jesus said, no, there's too much bothering, time consuming if you want to follow me now. And that is a very wonderful example of a disciple who is ever ready when called at once to go. And that is none other than William Chalmers Burns. And you have read my little book on him being the grandfather of Bible Presbyterians. He was a great evangelist, and thousands of people came to him who were saved in tears and repentance. But he had given his life to be a missionary wherever the mission board would call him. So the time came, he was waiting to be called, and the mission board called him, when are you ready to go? He said, tomorrow. Tomorrow? All right. They ordained him the next day. Why? There was a boat sailing to China. And the wind was starting to come, and it was estimated that tomorrow the boat will sail. He did not say, let me go home and see my parents and say goodbye to my loved ones, and you must give me at least, you know, 3 or 4 days or a week. He said tomorrow, and tomorrow they ordained him, and the boat was about to sail because the wind had come. In those days, they all sail by sailboats, and they have to depend on the climate, the weather. So they ordained him, and he climbed up the boat and he sailed. Be willing. Immediate obedience. Utmost devotion. But this order to the one who is not to bury his father is a very pertinent point to those of us who are Chinese. And many of us here are first-timer Christians. Or you may be the only Christian in your house. All the rest are non-Christians. They are Confucianists, Buddhists, Taoists, generally speaking. Now, if it's a case of Confucianism, well, you are really in trouble. Whereas Confucianism is good in teaching a lot of good ethics, it has much overdone in the matter of filial piety, and there are so many impositions on the son to practice his filial piety to his parents. And not so much in their lifetime, but in their death time, when they die. You have got to carry out so many rites. For example, if a mother dies, then the son has to mourn for her for 3 years and putting on the mourning dress. Nowadays, I see people mourn for their parents for only half a day. As long as they go to the funeral, they wear it. After that, they throw everything away and it's forgotten. But in those days, 3 years. Why 3 years? Because your mother gave you suck for 3 years. It's all by breastfeeding in those days. And they would feed their little babies the first 3 years. Therefore, you have to mourn 3 years for her. These are things you read in Confucian teachings. How much more your father? Therefore, a funeral leads you, first of all, to ancestral worship, right there. That's why you should not go and bury your father. In this case, you're a Christian among non-Christians. But it doesn't mean that you will walk out of all the funeral rites and so forth. You can attend, but you don't carry the joss sticks. You don't bow. You don't do anything by way of worship. That's a good testimony. Well, if your people will ostracize you to say that you must bow, what are you going to do? You have to take a stand. If any man will come after me, that's where the clash comes. But you must witness a good confession for our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, don't go and bury your father when you are all in a mix up there. You have to stand firm for Christ and stand firm for me. Now, we have noted that our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, in peacetime, He loves us as a loving Father and He provides for all our needs and keeps us safe from even the dropping of a hair and keeps us more than two sparrows. For how much are you worth? More than sparrows. Therefore, we must thank God that for the last 50 years, this church has been going on. We have lived from year to year under the protection of a good government of law and order so that we can come and freely worship Him. A government that gives equal opportunity to the various religions, that there is freedom and liberty of worship. So let us not forget to pray for kings and for those that are in authority, that we may live a peaceable life. That's why we always pray for our government as part of the duty of the church. But though we have a good government and good order, we are living in very tumultuous and troublous times. And it is a good thing for us, as we think of the exhortation of our Lord, that you must remain faithful unto me. And He exhorts the church of Smyrna, be thou faithful unto death. And we are to be that we should never yield, but stand loyal to Him. In such times, the world may be turned upside down. Especially we are living in the end times before He comes. Jesus in Matthew chapter 24 especially warns that there will be false Christs and false prophets, and they will deliver you before the council. Rather, in the same faith, in the same Christendom, betraying those who are faithful. What will you do? There again, the Lord Jesus Christ says, you have to confess me before men. You have to take a stand. And we do not know how times will change. Just recently, I guess less than a year ago, the persecution of Christians came to just at our doorstep. When in Batam, a church was burnt down and Christians were hurt. And in the whole of Indonesia, scores of churches were burnt down. And many, many Christians also killed and burned. Does that not speak to us? We have to stand firm for the Lord Jesus Christ when persecution comes, to even confess Jesus Christ unto death. Be thou faithful unto death. And so we come to the very blunt reply that our Lord gave to the scribe. The birds, the foxes have holes, and the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head. You want to follow me, you must be subjected to a life of poverty and much difficulty. And if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross to follow me. Is to go beyond that it costs your livelihood, but it also costs your life. That is the ultimate demand by our Lord Jesus Christ, if we are to be true Christians. Why so? If he has given his life for us, to die on the cross, to pay for our sins, to deliver us from sin and death and hell, and we have such a precious gift. Therefore, it is the equivalent that he would want us so to stand for him. Let us pray. Loving Heavenly Father, we pray now that you will consolidate our hearts in time of peace and plenty. As the Chinese saying goes, to consider war. In times of peace, to realize that troubles may come out of the blue. May we, when we meet with such circumstance, we not waver but stand firm for thee to confess thee. We cannot do it in our own strength, but we completely seek thy help and strength. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, we pray. Amen.